The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
You will have heard on the news last night, and you will have heard on the news this morning, this talk of the Brazilian COVID variant. Now, I remember in December, the middle of December, on a Sunday morning, probably listening to this programme and hearing about this British variant. And it had emerged in the southeast of the UK, and that it was more virulent and we should be worried and so on and so forth. And now we know how transmissible the British variant is and how many cases it's actually led to in this country. And I just got that little sense this morning when we hear about three confirmed cases of this so-called Brazilian variant have been found here in this country. And on the line is Professor Colm Henry, who's the Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE. Colm, good morning to you. Thanks very much for taking our call. But the reason we wanted to get you on, you're the medic, and like people, when they pick up the papers this morning, because it is in all the papers, it's the Independent that's leading with it, and when they hear the news about this Brazilian variant, that it's more transmissible, and there'll be all sorts of questions then about the vaccine and the efficacy of the vaccine against this virulent, and what is it all about? The question is, should we be worried when we read this news this morning, Colm?
Good morning, Damien, and thank you for having me on the programme. Well, viruses mutate all the time. We know that. And the great majority of these mutations are of little clinical consequence. The worry about the mutations we've seen in the UK, the one that is now the predominant strain here now and in South Africa and Brazil, is that they may behave differently, and they may lead to either increased transmissibility, or they may have altered ability to fight the vaccine. In the case of the Brazilian strain, less is known about it than either the English strain, the B.1.7, or the South African strain. But it does share a mutation with the South African strain, so we can make certain predictions based on our knowledge of the South African strain. And that is that it may well be more transmissible, a bit like the strain that came from Kent in England over to us, and is now, as I said, about 92% of cases in Ireland. And as to whether or not it is more resistant to the neutralising antibodies, those antibodies that are created by vaccines, we don't know yet. We know from the South African variant, which shares some traits, that it has a greater resistance, but it's still susceptible to vaccines. So, of course, it's worrying. It highlights that we're dealing with a new virus. It mutates. We're new to it in a way, and it's learning all the time. And it also highlights the importance of us taking all the measures we can to halt transmission. And even though that English variant arrived on our shores in December, we were able to slow down its spread in such a way that we can limit and accommodate and adapt our healthcare system to respond. Yeah. So it is a worry. We have three cases identified. They all are travel related, and it was due to the diligent work of our public health teams that we were able to follow up cases after they arrived in the country, and that surveillance system we talk about, and then identify, test, and do the whole genomic sequencing on those three cases that identified that were this mutation.
Now, like, I know you're not a legislator, but you're part of, you said there, you know, we're taking all the measures we can. People now listening to us, Colm, talking about this will say, we heard about this Brazilian variant a long time ago. Why didn't we do more to actually stop it getting in here? It's not as, I mean, the UK, there's a lot of travel between the UK and Ireland, a lot of travel obviously between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. But to get from, you know, Rio de Janeiro to Dublin or to Ireland, it takes a lot of work, and we should be able to identify anybody coming in from outside the EU in particular. And why did we not, I know this may not be a question for you, but why did we not detect these people at the airport? Weren't we told that there was going to be all sorts of tests and people were going to be asked, where are you coming from? They would have to fill in locator forms. They would have to prove that they had a PCR test within the last 72 hours, da-da-da-da-da-da. And yet now here we are on the 20th of February and we discover that there are three cases, which I'm sure has multiplied many times since they've been detected in this country.
Well, first of all, we don't know the multiplied, but what I would say is precisely due to the actions of public health teams, due to the sense of awareness of people come from certain countries, including Brazil, that the three people in question were in isolation from the moment of arrival, were under active surveillance by our public health teams, were tested by public health teams, and that testing was picked out for whole genomic sequencing because of where they came from. And it's because of those active measures that were in place, isolation, surveillance, observation, testing and the whole genomic sequencing to identify this mutation, that these cases were identified. And let me just reassure anybody who's listening, Damien, that all the while that was happening, the essential public health measures were taking in place, the contact identifying of contacts, the observation of close contacts, the testing of close contacts in these particular cases. So to reassure people, whatever about the dispute and the discussions about legislation and what mandated quarantine, in these particular cases, as with any countries of concern, the necessary actions took place in the moment those people arrived in Ireland.
Okay, all right. And you're confident in that. I know you're not responsible, as I said, for the legislation. But do you believe that it will have... Do you think we have it ring-fenced then, Colm?
Of course, there may well be more cases, because the contact tracing, without going into the detail of these specific cases, will look at all possible contacts that these people had that are on the island of Ireland. And in order to test, to identify, to isolate, and to take all those measures necessary to halt transmission, and more cases may come to light because of that active surveillance, because of that testing. So I can't say that we completely ring fence, but yeah. I can say that the actions taken by our public health teams. We have a special outbreak team looking at those countries of interest, South Africa and Brazil, has ensured that these cases were isolated, observed and tested, and as I said, the whole genomic sequencing done in time. Okay. And that exercise is not yet complete. That contact tracing, that observation is not yet complete. Our hope, of course, is that we will have, as you put it, ring-fenced these cases, and there'll be no more. But we've learned to our cost never to take anything for granted with this virus.
Because, the majority, here I am saying the majority, but anecdotally, most of the Brazilian population that are living in Ireland, they would tend to be young. They're here learning English. They're students, and they're working, in the fast food delivery service, and they are living together. In houses maybe of more than two people. So, are you confident at this point in time that in those scenarios where these three people, just to reiterate again, Colm, the three cases that we have detected, the tracing. An isolation technology, or I suppose the system that you have in place, that has actually now been activated, and that their close contacts have actually been contacted and are being tested?
That exercise is ongoing, Damien. It happened from the moment of arrival, as with the other countries.
When did we detect these, by the way?
Well, they arrived. I don't want to go into detail on the specific cases. The travel took place in recent weeks. But in terms of them becoming symptomatic, cases becoming symptomatic, tested and the genomic sequencing took place more recently. But I prefer not to go into detail on these specific cases.
In other words, they might have arrived here perfectly healthy, feeling fantastic and the whole lot, and they may actually have ended up then at the end of the second week not feeling well, and that's when it was detected. Is that a possibility?
Hence the measures we put in place for people coming from these areas of concern, Damien, which is to ensure that they are isolated, that they're tested after a number of days after arrival. We don't wait for people to develop symptoms. We have an active surveillance system in place, and we ensure that these people are isolated from the moment of arrival from particular countries.
The reason that we're a wee bit worried, or maybe very worried, about the idea of a Brazilian variant is that, am I right in saying that there's reports that people that had COVID, that they got it again with this variant? Does it allow for further reinfection?
There are emerging cases worldwide, not just with this variant, but of other variants, the more traditional wild variant, and there are reported cases of reinfection. The main concern we have over emerging variants of this particular mutation, this 484K mutation, is its increased transmissibility, a bit like what we call the B117 mutation, which came to our shores in December, that it's more transmissible. And that English variant is at the order of 50-60% more transmissible. And the other concern we have, of course, is that it may be less susceptible to these what we call neutralising antibodies, which are invoked by the vaccine. And we know from there's more work done perhaps in the South African variant, which shows that vaccines are effective against this variant, but perhaps not to the same degree as they are to the older, wilder version of the virus.
What about people that are already vaccinated? And I mean, there is this good news from the frontline services that the frontline personnel that have been vaccinated, they've 90% reduction in new infections, which is great news, Colm, and I know you want to mention that. But what about those people and the older people that have been vaccinated? Should they be worried now that the efficacy of the vaccination is under threat?
I think they should be reassured. The vaccines that we've given out to older people, and we're now rolled out as people know them.
We lost Colm there. Okay, we'll come back. Are you there, Colm? All right.